from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
I'm going to Wichita. Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of Sports Daily getting underway here. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Paul Savage. It is Kevin Saul. Kevin, it is glad to have you back with us here. It's been a little while as you guys are about to bring students on campus. You ready for this? Summer's almost over here.
We are ready to roll. Appreciate the opportunity to start out hour number two with you guys. Hope you're well. We've got a lot going. We've got students actually moved in on campus this past weekend. We've got student athletes coming in. Of course, volleyball's already here. But, next couple of days, we've got new student athlete orientation on Thursday. We do our all student athlete meeting on Friday. So it's game on, guys.
You know, Kevin. Go ahead.
Paul Stollentrop, Kevin, has an article out I saw today, and I'm just trying to scan it. And it's perfect to what, I mean, his timing is perfect, I think, to what Shocker basketball fans are wondering about. Now, summer two, all the guys have been there a little while. It has felt to me like the vibe, and this is, talking to Paul Mills the couple of times we have you, it seems like the vibe is very optimistic with how this group is looking so far. Is that continuing now as they've had a few weeks to be together working out?
Yeah, I think any preseason is optimistic. Jacob, you pick the sport. When you start to get in season and starting lineups get picked and adversity starts to hit and all of those pieces, that's where you find out where your team, how they like to manage adversity, what the culture looks like, and all of those elements. So we are very optimistic. I'd like to think that we operate with optimism every day. And obviously, we'll have a long journey ahead of us, but it looks and feels very different. And certainly, our talent level is different. The depth is different. The practices are different. All those pieces are really good. Our staff's excited about it. So, and we got a lot of that going on the women's side as well. If you caught any of the video of our women in the Virgin Islands, you will see a very new look and feel, very athletic. There's some length. We've got 6'6" down low. We've got multiple guards. They like to play fast. They like to press. So we got a lot of things going. We're optimistic about both those programs.
You know, Kevin, you've got the tip-off luncheon scheduled for October 4th. That's a pretty cool deal. And you look at that kind of event, and the fans will be there, and the fans are going to expect improvement. And, of course, with Paul Mills and Terry Nooner, I think you got, you know, guys that really know what they're doing. I really enjoy watching them work. But what is the main goal of the tip-off luncheon? Is that for the players? Is that for the coaches? Is that for the fans? Who's this really targeting?
Paul, it's for everybody. I will tell you, when we engage with Shocker Nation, which is often, and it's really enjoyable, the one theme that continues to shine through, the drum that continues to be beaten, is that we need to get to know our players more. We need to make sure that we endear our players to the Shocker community, because we know we're in a different era now where we've got more transition than normal. That being said, five of our top seven scorers returning on the men's side, and we lost three to the portal, whereas our average American Athletic Conference peer lost eight. So it's relative, but we sit in a better position than our peers. But, Paul, to your point, it's a shotgun approach, if you will, at social media, videos, content, fan appreciation events, engagements, tip-off dinners, community engagement through NIL, community service. There's so many different pathways where we're trying to connect our young people with the community, and this is one of those. So for all those Shocker fans that are out there that want to spend time around our players, not on game day, purchase your tickets to October 4th, the tip-off luncheon that'll start at noon. We'll have it in the multipurpose center. Typically, we'll have 300 or 400 folks there. Let's push 500-600 folks there, and really, really bring in a good crowd. You're going to meet some great young men and women on both our basketball programs. Our coaching staffs, our student athletes, our support staffs will all be there.
Kevin Saul joining us, Wichita State Athletic Director. You talk about big crowds for the luncheon. Big crowds at Koch Arena anytime are one of the most asked about topics we ever get, whether it's TV, radio. People want to know about the crowds at Koch Arena. I see that season tickets are on sale for basketball. How has that looked? How has the momentum in your world carried through from the fan base? Do you feel that support? Is it gaining momentum? I know it was a big topic of discussion last year, but now that we've made, you guys have, you know, put a lot of systems in place, how is that looking in, we'll call it, year number two for basketball?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Jacob, I think it's an important topic of conversation every year, because there's tremendous pressure on our basketball program, our season tickets, the say-so donations, because obviously without a football program, there's no revenue on that side. So we've got to do a really good job. I will tell you, and we talked very openly and candidly about it, in the summer of 22, we lost 320 season ticket accounts. We made a change for a number of reasons, and that decline and fall has been arrested. We're in a different place. I can share with you that we have heard feedback from our fans in terms of providing alternative season ticket packages at lower price points or elevated experiences, and we've done both of those things. We've got an upper deck season ticket that is cheaper than any season ticket that we've had around here in the last 10 or 12 years. So that's certainly an option. We introduced, Jacob and Paul, 32 new floor seats in the northwest end zone and the southeast end zone next to our bench, 16 each. And we've currently sold 19 of those 32, and we've got another 8 that are under consideration. So that's 27, which leaves us 5 left to sell. So those are two data points that would tell you we're headed in the right direction. We know that when we get 7, 8, 9,000 season tickets sold in Koch Arena, that we can do all the things we need to do from an annual operating standpoint. We can build some buildings and do some really nice things, get some upgrades, and then obviously pour into the revenue share piece that's coming, and which is an extension of NIL. It's something that we will be permitted to manage and administrate through the department, so we need those resources. We need those things to help all of our programs get better. So it's a point of attention for us.
You know, Paul, I mean, you know, there's something about the portal that I'm still, you know, always still trying to wrap my arms around. And, of course, you made a comment earlier in this interview with regards to, well, Wichita State is doing as well as anybody in the AAC as far as players transferring out. Why is that? Why? I did not realize that stat. It's a fascinating stat. I just got to ask, in your opinion, Kevin, why is that? Why is that? What's going on? What is Wichita State doing right that these others may not be doing as well?
Yeah, Paul, let me extend that. That's an outcome, right, in terms of the transfer portal.
Right.
And the fact that Wichita State is performing better than our peers. Another outcome is, as we've walked through the recruiting and retention process, we have young men in our basketball program that are either staying or have come from another institution that had options. And those options may have included twice, if not three times, the amount of NIL funds at other institutions, and they've chose to come to Wichita
wow.
State or stay at Wichita State. And so that's another outcome. And so I guess that just strengthens your question. And the question is why? And I think you have to, at a very high level, I think you have to understand that they're seeing value in something else other than a dollar. They're seeing, and that could be anything, guys. That my gut, based on my experience and walking this thing every day, they see value in how they're valued within the program, how they're treated as people, how their development is a top priority for us, both on and off the floor, the attention that they're given by their coaching staff, their commitment by our coaching staff to pour their cups out and make those players better every single day. Historical success with the coaching staff, right? We've got guys that have worked with, I think the number is somewhere around 48 professional players amongst this staff. And so our guys see that. Guys like Quincy Acey have incredible credibility with a Quincy Ballard in terms of development. And then you have all the other pieces, the facilities, the community, the fan support, all of those things. They're all avenues for value, where you as an individual, you could assess value in a program. And so clearly our guys are seeing value in things other than the transfer portal and NIL, which is a positive sign for us.
Yeah, it all leads to on the court. And again, we're so excited to see these teams hit the floor. I am curious, a couple other things. We got, you know, some fall softball announcements. Where are the softball two facilities? How are things coming? Let's just get an update on the two big renovations at softball and then at Cessna. How are those coming along, and what can we expect out of both of those as we move into these fall months?
We are nearing 100% construction documents on Wilkins Stadium in terms of the indoor practice facility and the operations building. We will have a groundbreaking ceremony mid-September. It's likely going to be Saturday, September 14th, and we'll get some invites out on that here in the next few days. And then we will break ground I think it's going to be that next week, September 16th, on the indoor practice facility at softball. So we've raised just short of $5 million on our way, $6 million on our way towards the $6.9 million. And so we've got the indoor practice facility paid for. We've got a portion of the operations building paid for. Our goal is to finish fundraising for the operations building by December 31st of 24. So that when that indoor practice facility is completed in March or April of 25, we can roll right into the team operations building and get that built. So we are literally weeks away from breaking ground on Wilkins. University Stadium will break ground late September, early October. The challenge with that one, guys, has been as we sequence, and we've said from the outset, we are going to prioritize state high school track in the construction schedule and the administration of that facility. And so we've selected late September, early October, which allows us to get that east side done in late April, early May, which gives us enough time, obviously, if we have some weather issues and other elements, that we can have it done before 25 state high school track. And then immediately after 25 state high school track, we will start phase 1B, which is the event level, right? The end zone seating, the track, the turf field in the middle, that event level will start then. The trick with the timing has been pick a date that's late enough this fall that you can get it done, the east side, get it done, phase 1A. And then you're going to have a gap in time between when phase 1A finishes and phase 1B, the event level, starts. Within that gap, you'll have state high school track. You better plan for just a little bit of leeway in your schedule in case you got weather issues or you run into something that you didn't anticipate. But that gap is costly as well. So we have to try to thread the needle and make sure that we pick a precise gap, one that allows us to get done what we need to get done in a financially responsible manner.
Just a real quick follow-up question from the last time you and I talked, and that was probably a month, month and a half ago. It's been a little bit. But we had had a conversation regarding the three women's sports of softball, volleyball, and basketball. You know, and I'm really bullish on turning those sports into revenue producers, not revenue users. Where are we coming along on that? I mean, I know that's a general overall question, but, you know, I will become so excited if we ever get to that point where those sports become revenue producers. And I know I'm setting the bar high, but, you know, you look at UConn. My gosh, they fill that stadium every time the women play. That's what I'd like to see for the Roundhouse. You know, and maybe I'm just, you know, shooting the bull with you too much on this, but you know, I'm really interested in seeing that happen, Kevin.
Yeah, Paul, I appreciate you asking that, and I think it's how you define revenue producing, right? We have five sports that we sell tickets to: men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, and volleyball. So in that definition, those five sports are revenue producers, some more than others. Our men's basketball and baseball tends to produce more revenue than the others. If you want to talk about maybe how an AD or a CFO might look at a revenue producer, is what is the level of that revenue as compared to actual expenses within that program? And when you look at it through that lens, there is only one, and that is men's basketball, that truly provides more revenue than it does expenses. And so to give you an example, I'm ballparking here because I don't have those numbers right in front of me. But a women's basketball program or a softball program probably has somewhere around a $2 million expense budget between salaries, benefits, annual operating, scholarships, all those elements. And so you could look at it through the lens of a revenue producer would mean as soon as they start exceeding the expenses that are associated with that program. And so that's obviously the goal. Because at the end of the day, the revenue that's produced by our programs is poured right back into this program in all the things that we've talked about, from people to facilities to services and programming. All those things are critically important. So we're aligned with you, Paul. We want to do that. But I think a byproduct, or really the source of that, is that we've got arenas that are full of great fans, which creates an awesome environment for our young people to compete in. I believe they're more successful when they compete in front of environments like that. So, you know, the motivations and the motives and intentions are multiple.
Right. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I know we got to get out of this segment. But the one thing I would be thrilled at seeing in my lifetime would be 10-5 for a volleyball game. 10-5 for a volleyball game. It's doable. It's a great sport. Women's basketball, 10-5. That's kind of what I'm hoping to see at some point. Other schools are doing it. Wichita State can do it too, and I know they can, and I know you're working at that. But, man, wouldn't that be wonderful, Kevin, to see that kind of support for those sports?
Yeah, we'd love to see it. You know, we hosted an NCAA volleyball tournament in 17. And I think we capped out around 7,000 or 8,000 for that one. So, great teams, great events with a lot on the line will produce what we're talking about, Paul.
All right, we've got, speaking of volleyball, exhibition game August 24th against Kansas State. And, you know, for folks out there that want to check it out, you go a ways there, a lot of road games for volleyball early. So after the exhibition, the Shocker Volleyball Classic, the next time they're at home isn't until September 19th. So if you want to see the Shockers, you can see him against Kansas State. That'll be on August 24th. Kevin, good luck with the fall. Good luck with getting students on campus. Can't wait to continue these conversations now as we get some games going back again. This is it. Summer's over.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. Always appreciate those visits. If you missed anything from that conversation, you can go back and listen always for free on the Odyssey app. You can also just scroll back on these video streams wherever you might be watching and listen to it there as well. All right, we're going to come back. We'll continue our conversations. A rookie quarterback in the NFL. Will we even see him play this year? That is up in the air, and it's probably the one I was the most excited about. We'll get into it as we make our way through Sports Daily.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Paul, how's your take on these rookie quarterbacks? You know, we got a lot of preseason action. You saw Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels look pretty good. Bo Nix looked pretty good. Michael Penix looked pretty good. J.J. McCarthy looked good. But now we learn J.J. McCarthy has a torn meniscus. And Paul, not just in the short term, but to some degree with that injury, his season is in jeopardy here.
Right, right.
His season is in jeopardy.
Right.
So what do we think of all this?
Well, there's two grades to that kind of meniscus tear, and they don't know what that is until he gets looked at probably today, I would imagine.
Well, grades and two recovery options, right? Yeah. Like that, you can either take the short term or the long term.
Right.
And, you know, I think Kevin O'Connell's tone is indicating the long term is on the table, which means right. He wasn't going to be the starter to start the year. Sam Darnold was. But I'm as optimistic about J.J. McCarthy with those weapons and those options as any of these rookies, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
you know, the value-based proposition, I think he's going to be good. Man, the Vikings have had a rough offseason. We'll just put it that way.
Well, it's been an interesting week with regards to rookie quarterbacks. And the only reason I bring this up is because it's been a while since we've had a draft with as intensified quality, I guess is the right word, quarterbacks.
Looks good.
I mean, there's some guys that look like they're going to make it. It looks like there's guys with skills. And so with that being said, now we never know, do we? I mean, time will tell, but it
Correct.
Looks like
yeah,
there's sure. some guys that are going to be pretty good. I always thought that Williams at Chicago would probably – I have never been quite as sold on him as a lot of people are. Now, I know a lot of people think he's going to be the best thing. He's so-so. I mean, but he's a rookie. It was his first game. I mean, extended with time and that kind of thing. So we all have to take this with a grain of salt. You know, the guy that I thought looked best over the weekend was Jalen Daniels. My goodness. I don't know
Jaden
how.
Daniels,
or
yeah.
Jaden, I'm sorry, Jaden Daniels. I do not know how this kid – wasn't taken in front of Williams, if you want to know the truth. I think that he looked natural. He looked good. Now, we're talking about two series. I mean, how much can we glean for that? But, boy, he put the ball where it needed to be, showed the ability to throw the ball on the outside edge of a fade. Are you kidding me? That takes skill. Not everybody can do that, Jacob, as you know. But with that being said, I thought Jalen Daniels looked the best of all the rookies. May, the guy that I thought might have the most upside of all of them, I was kind of thinking he would be.
He's in by far the worst situation, though.
Yeah,
I mean, we got to be fair to him. His situation is awful.
Right. Well, no, you got a good point. You know, he does not have the talent around him that will make him look good. But he didn't play as well as I was hopeful that he would play.
Jaden Daniels threw three passes. And I like Jaden Daniels. And the reason, and it's Jaden, not Jalen. How many times are we going to do that this year with KU quarterback?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Jaden Daniels. He can run the ball. We know that. That's the part. And he ran that ball in for a touchdown. That's the part of his game. I think when you and I'm a Caleb Williams advocate. I think Caleb Williams is going to be great. I think he is in an incredible.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Incredible position to succeed as a rookie. But Daniels could be great. I think Daniels carries a little more injury risk. J.J. McCarthy looks really good and is a guy in the situation in Minnesota I thought could really have an impact this year. So we'll have to see on that. Penix, I did not watch Penix. I did not go back and look at any of his. I just know it was, you know, people thought it was pretty good. And Bo Nix.
He was good.
Look, Bo Nix was good. And he doesn't have a great situation either, but he's also the most experienced out of all these guys. So, you know, I think there's a chance that four or five teams may have found their quarterbacks. And if that sounds crazy, we got to remember, like, this was a class widely considered to be that kind of class. Then we saw all the quarterbacks taken, and so we'll have to see. Earl wants to chime in on the IHOP hotline, which is available, brought to you by IHOP. All you can eat pancakes through September 15th. Let's go to Earl on the line. Hey, Earl, what's up?
Hey, just real quick, being a physician for 30 years and also suffering the terrible triad knee injury, I just wanted to illuminate you for just one moment on that injury.
Okay.
Firstly, you have a lateral and medial meniscus in the knee. In other words, one on the inside, one on the outside, right? So the degree of the tear in the meniscus is what's kind of germane here. If it's a minor tear, a lot of guys clip that off because meniscus is white. It doesn't have a big blood supply. If you think of a chicken bone and you're gnawing on the end of it, that little white deal there, that's the meniscus. So you can see it doesn't have much blood going to it. But here's the thing for an NFL quarterback. If you clip that meniscus, you are guaranteed to have arthritis in your knees as you age. I went through that. There was a Dr. Henning in Wichita who was a fabulous surgeon back in the day. He pioneered sewing the meniscus back together. Now, when you sew it back together, you cannot put pressure on it or it fractures what he sewed, and you're on crutches for 6 months. Excuse me. With that healing that way, though, he has no long-term detriment to the knee. So if you're a young quarterback, if he gets it clipped, he's going to set himself up for problems down the road and in his career as a quarterback. If he goes long-term and thinks long-term health, and I think we all ought to do that, he will have it sewed. And once again, we're not in there. We don't have a scope in there. We don't have him splayed open. But typically, if it can be sewed, that is the route to take. So,
and that's what, Earl, that's what Kevin O'Connell sort of alluded to yesterday, I think, when he said we're going to do what's best for J.J. McCarthy long-term. I think that's why Viking fans and people today are sort of just reserving the fact that they just may not have McCarthy. Now, you said there are two different sides of it, though. Does it matter as far as that goes, which side, or is it just in general if they
in,
do
in general,
this.
You have okay. a lateral, which is on the outside of your knee, and a medial on the inside of your knee meniscus. But I can say this, you know, because I hurt my knee playing in the ill-fated IFL back in the day. And I still know about 10 of those guys, and we all ended up with knee surgery after playing in that buffoonery league, that I was the only one who got it sewed. And everyone who went for the clipping, you know, as we are now very seasoned into our 60s, they knee replacements and bow leg from arthritis in the knee. So, honestly, this cat is a good player, and I wouldn't expect him to see him this year unless, again, he takes the short-term approach. Hey, I got to get out there. And many of us athletes are wired that way, but some of us could see the forest for the trees, and down the road was kind of important. And I will just say this. I will take Daniels being better than Williams, Caleb, okay. in the short term and the long term. Just that's the gut feel, but I will give this caveat. I was the one that wanted the Chiefs to take Deshaun Watson.
Well, there you go.
So take it with a grain of salt.
Anything with rookie quarterbacks
right.
is grain of salt.
Yeah,
and if
right.
you
there
could
you go.
Look, if you could guarantee me that a guy who runs as much as Daniels could stay healthy, I would say okay. But the problem for me is running these guys that run a ton, not just because Caleb Williams can move. But he doesn't run a ton. Look at Anthony Richardson last year. I mean, he looked incredible. Gets hurt. Lamar Jackson has missed significant time. We'll see if Jalen Hurts is able to hold it through. But the guys that carry the ball a lot, actual designed runs, they just get hurt in this league. And I think that's where, you know, with Daniels and Williams, I just think Williams is the safer bet because he's going to have less risk for injury, not running around so much.
But I will say this, that the Caleb, I'm a Sooner fan, so I watched him in Boomerville. I will tell you this, and he's a young man, and young men get more mature as they age. Caleb has not done very well with adversity in his career so far. So that right there, strength of mind, strength of body, this is the yin and the yang of an NFL quarterback. So you guys have a great day. Love your show.
Appreciate that, Earl, and I really do appreciate that insight. That is great insight to the problem now the Vikings face, Paul. And, you know, Dr. Earl gives us good insight on why that is such a big decision. And we see this with meniscus all the time. We hear about the clip. We hear about that. To put it in that perspective, you almost want to see McCarthy go ahead and take the long term and miss this year. For him, mostly, Paul, because the Vikings have never had the direct intention of starting him out of the gates. They're going to start Sam Darnold. For how long has been the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look if you're JJ McCarthy, I don't want to get inside the personal decision that he's going to want to make. That's his to make. He can make it however he wants to. If you're the Vikings though, and you're looking at it, that gets a little more difficult. Because I think the Vikings with a good quarterback are very much an NFC contender.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they still can be with Sam Darnold. With
I think
all the
they
web.
Can.
I don't know.
I think they can. Yeah.
But certainly the arrow is pointed up with J.J. McCarthy. Does it hurt him long term if he just doesn't play at all this year and starts out of the gate next year?
Right.
Almost like the – and let me hold my example of that for just 1 second. Versus coming in, let's call it, I think their week is like week, their bye is week 6 or 7. So let's say he starts week 8 and then goes the rest of the way. How much long term, like if you're looking at it for next year, how much does he lose by not getting that playing time? And I would say this, he's gotten a full off season, a full OTA, most of training camp, got some reps in a game. He would then have next year, full off season, preseason. I don't think it hurts him too much long term. And I think the easiest example of the Vikings and what they should advise is Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying Sam Darnold is Alex Smith. He is not. Far from it. But he's also not, Trevor Siemian. Sam Darnold is somewhere journeyman in between. He's a journeyman because he's got talent. He's going to walk into an offense with a lot of talent around him. if you're the Vikings, I think you just treat this as the way the Chiefs treated Mahomes rookie year. You just say, shut it down, get fully healthy. It's your job next year. We'll get through this year with Darnold. Let's get you right. I think the right play here for the Vikings is to go the long-term recovery. And as Earl mentioned, certainly for J.J. McCarthy long-term, it's a better option.
Right.
But it seems to me like they're going to shut it down for
right.
him.
Right. And he will get better, and he will become involved in this ball club because he's going to be there. I mean, he's going to be there the whole year. He's there now, and he's right. going to be there. He's going to be able to attend meetings. He's going to be involved. He is going to be a part of this team, and that's huge. And it's different with a quarterback than, say, an offensive lineman or a DB or something like that. It's totally different because, you know, we've always said, and I think I've had these discussions. It's been a long, long time. What's the most important position in all of pro sports? And I think we came to the conclusion probably quarterback is probably the most important.
There ain't no probably about it.
Yeah, that's where we're at with that regarding that. And so he's going to be there. He's going to pick up a lot of things. He will almost be, quote unquote, a veteran when he comes to camp next year. And I'm thinking that, you know, he's got so many years ahead of him. Do it right. Do the safe thing. Get better. Don't come back if unless you really can, or things go, or maybe it's not as bad as we think once they get in there. Who knows what's going to happen? We'll know after the surgery. But, you know, be cautious. You got a whole career ahead of you. And quarterbacks can play a long time. Good quarterbacks, they're going to play. We've got examples of guys playing until they're in their 40s. Now, that's rare, obviously. But, you know, you got guys playing until their early 30s, mid-30s. I mean, you know, so you got those kind of guys. But anyway, it's going to get shut down. He's going to be around. He's going to get better just because he's there. He's in meetings. He's a part
yeah,
of the
I,
team.
I agree.
He's a part
I
of
agree.
The team.
And look, so. And Mahomes got physical reps in practice, so it's not, you know, it's
that's
not
right.
a totally fair comparison. But I am so bullish on McCarthy. I want to see him real bad this year, but I also want to see him long term. I will see. This is a fascinating decision. My gut says they're going to shut it down.
Right. Well, that'll be okay. No, that'll be fine. And before we get out of this segment, though, I do have to ask you the question. We saw snippets of all these guys. I mean, hardly any of them threw over
the rookies,
10 passes.
Yeah.
All the rookie quarterbacks. Hardly any of them threw over 10 passes. I mean, you just saw basically snippets of a bunch of them. And you've got a bunch of them to choose from, all the way down to Bo Nix, because you got to put him in the mix. You got to put, you know, maybe even what
Penix. You got to put Penix.
Penix
good.
In there. What about Spencer? Oh, what's his name out of Oklahoma?
Spencer Rattler.
I mean, he didn't do bad. I'm not a Spencer Rattler fan since that Netflix show where he was in high school. I didn't like him. I didn't think he was a nice guy. I thought he was a horrible best friend. But anyway, I'm not a big friend, but a big fan of him.
You know, he didn't even complete 50% of his passes. I don't think he looked particularly good.
But anyway, he scored. He threw a touchdown pass. Scored on a run. I mean, whatever. But anyway, of all the quarterbacks that played, because this has been a heck of a class for quarterbacks, who's the one guy that you think can hit it off big? Because now you only got
his
snippets.
Rookie year.
Yeah, I'm talking about for a career. I'm talking about who hangs in there and becomes that guy, becomes that Pro Bowl.
Who do you like out of this group? I like, as far as when I said this. So I think let me put it this way, because I think there's certainly more than one. I think that the Bears found their quarterback. I think that the Commanders found their quarterback, and I really hope that he stays healthy, because they deserve, and the Bears do too. Both those franchises deserve a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Vikings found their quarterback, and I think McCarthy could be the best of the group. I think that the Falcons, I liked Penix. I don't, the, you know, the way they went about it was really curious to me. But I would venture to say in, let's call it, what's a good amount of time in the NFL? 4 years from now, Penix will be their quarterback.
Okay.
Drake May, I have no idea.
Me neither.
Didn't watch him a ton in college.
Absolute
and total unknown to me. I do not know. Bo Nix, I'm the most on the fence about. Is that all of them?
Yeah, that pretty much covers the ones that we're talking about.
That covers the group, right?
Yeah, but
so I do think there is a very real chance, Paul, that they all found quarterbacks that will be their quarterbacks but we thought that sort of going in. Bo Nix has always been Drake May is just a total unknown to me. I you trust people that evaluated that really liked him to some degree. I don't have a pro or con Drake May. I didn't watch him play at all. So I don't know. I'm in on Williams. I'm in on Daniels. I'm in on Penix. I'm not in yet, but willing to be in on Bo Nix. And I have no idea with Drake May.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bo Nix. I'm going to go Daniels. Those are the two that such small snippets.
You don't think Williams is going to have man?
I'm not there yet.
The offense that they have inserted him into is light years better than the offense they've run out. DJ Moore's a stud. Keenan Allen is old reliable. Rome Odunze, we all like him out of Washington. He was incredible as a rookie coming in. He'll have an impact. They brought in DeAndre Swift. Like they have surrounded him with talent. He will put up the biggest numbers this year as far as a passer. I don't think there's much question. Just because of what's around him. You know, is he the kind of playmaker that Daniels is? I don't know. Jaden Daniels is the most intriguing, I'll get for sure.
Right.
But Caleb Williams has the opportunity to just sit back as a passer and cut apart defense.
Need to see how he comes along with his maturity within the pocket.
No question.
That is my question. Okay.
But a part of his game, now you're talking about Williams. Part of his game is his ability to move outside the pocket.
It is,
which
part has of his
become
game.
So important in the NFL now, right?
Right.
Like his ability to move around and keep plays alive and do all that kind of stuff is a part of why I think he'll be successful. Mm-hmm. It's the maturity. It's the thing everybody brings up, right? For me too. Does he have that drive to be that dude? We got to see.
We'll see.
You know, it's been troublesome over the years. I'm not, you know, of course it has been, but I just think he's in such a good situation to be successful. And he was insanely successful at two different schools in college. So we'll see. But I like all of them. I'm excited about that. I want every team in the NFL to have a good quarterback. Yeah. I mean that sincerely.
Yes. I'm with you.
I want every single team to have a quality quarterback because it makes our, you know, the game so much better when there is a quality
right.
quarterback out there. You know, I'd rather rank a bunch of good ones than, the alternative. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll look at the Royals game today. We'll look at it from a betting perspective, all kinds of different ways as we get you ready for some afternoon baseball for the Royals, which you'll hear, of course, right here on KFH. We also need to get you some Chiefs audio from Chiefs camp. So a couple more things we've got on the to-do list here on a Wednesday. It's Sports Daily with Albrecht and Savage. Don't go away.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Glad to have Crestview's support here of the program. And we would tell you to get out there and check out the 36 holes of golf. Lots of renovations. New splash pad out there. Some of the facilities are getting a little bit of a makeover. So call them. Go check it out. Take a tour. Tell them we sent you. I also want to set up our HTO giveaway here real quick. You can get your hands on a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, and a free coffee drink, iced or hot, featuring free rain coffee at any of the Wichita Metro locations, East or West Wichita or in Derby. All you got to do right now to win those prizes is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. Good luck there, everybody. Real quick, Chad, do we have time? Let's get this Mitch Holthus audio from Chiefs camp. From a conversation with Steve and Ted, and it's relevant because it has to do with the Hollywood Brown injury. So if we have that, Jed, let's take that real quick and then we'll react.
Time frame looks 4 to 6 weeks. Now, we mentioned yesterday no surgery. That's big, or it would have been maybe the season. But if you want to project it, I would say no on Baltimore to open the season on September the 5th, and then a real good chance that he would be out there for Cincinnati. Just keep in mind, we have 10 days to get ready for Cincinnati. we opened the entire NFL schedule, being the defending world champions, on Thursday night, September 5th. But then we do not play again until a week from the next Sunday. So that's hopefully will give Hollywood that much extra time to be ready to go.
How did things go at camp yesterday?
Good. A little soggy, but we pushed right through it. And today, I don't know, talking about soggy, it may be moving inside because it's raining. It's rained all night, raining pretty good. They were in pads yesterday. The best news was that Justin Reed, who has not been in pads yet, was in pads yesterday at camp, and to get him ready to go for the season. And then also Nick Bolton was back in pads, although they kept him out of the big contact drills, but at least those guys were back. And that puts him on a trajectory to be ready for the Baltimore Ravens on September 5.
There you go. So Hollywood Brown, that's an interesting way, and I hadn't thought about that. The extra time they get after game one, that would make game two make sense. I still think there's an outside chance for Hollywood in game one, but considering that, it probably would make more sense, Paul, just to let him have till week two. But crisis averted. It's just becoming more and more official that it's 4 to 6 weeks and it's that recovery and then the injury risk goes up. But all things considered, probably good news on Hollywood Brown.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, anytime you kind of up the time or anything goes to the schedule that gets the kid back onto the field, that's always a good thing. You know, you can't go too soon. This is preseason. Let's face it. There's still a lot of preseason football.
Yeah, I mean, it's
played.
Look,
this
when you open, like, you open against the Ravens, the Chiefs probably feel like the Ravens are one of the teams they'll be battling for home field throughout. It's hard to imagine. And you'd certainly want Hollywood Brown. And I know Hollywood Brown would like to play against his old team and, you know, all that stuff too. Sure. And maybe he is. I still think there's an outside chance that he goes, but week two would certainly make a lot of sense with that time off. So that's
two contenders for a Super Bowl championship playing the first week. I mean, that's not bad. That's good stuff. You want to have everybody ready. And preseason is important. It's important to like rookie quarterbacks, but a guy like Hollywood Brown, he's been there, he's done that. He's okay with all this. Although there are connections he needs to make with teammates and that kind of thing, but you know, everything will be okay. He's a pro, he'll be fine.
He'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
He'll be all right. He'll be all right. It's really once he comes back, right, does he stay all right with a broken collarbone?
Well,
we'll see, but it's something we're watching and paying attention to. Hey, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up.
It was
I see Paul hitting it hard there this morning.
Yep.
Lots of coffee for this program all around. So, again, you can win some free rain coffee and some HTO iced tea. Just text the keyword
Beautiful.
Tea. To 20357. We're going to come back. We'll get the Royals game previewed in our last quick segment here and tell you about the programming today with the early game. Don't go away.
Mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers, from the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.